Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, like all the clergy round here, I've journeyed to Chelmsford many times for meetings and for services. But I can remember one occasion when we were living in Manningtree that I decided to let the train take the strain. But rather than it being a relaxing experience, it was actually very stressful. My train was cancelled, and there was great uncertainty as to when another one would arrive. I can't quite remember the details, but it was chaos. I can remember pacing the platform, peering down the track, impatiently waiting for any sign of a train that would get me to my meeting before it was over. It was nothing, I know, compared to what commuters have to put up with on a pretty regular basis. But for me, it got me thinking about waiting and the value of waiting. And of course, waiting is a central theme of the season of Advent, because this is the season of expectation and preparation as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ at his incarnation at Christmas, and as we look ahead to his second coming as our judge in the fullness of time. So this is a season for nurturing attentiveness to God in disciplined ways, waiting and watching for signs of his coming to us in everyday life, whilst also getting ready to greet him when he comes in glory. At the beginning of this penitential season, the gospel reading has an appropriately sobering ring to it. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, one assumes that this separation is not arbitrary, but who are the goodies and who are the baddies? Well, if you buy into American rapture theology, the good are those who are taken away. However, the reference to Noah and his family might suggest the opposite, that the separation is the good of those who remain. Whatever it is, the separation occurs not because of what they're currently doing, both men are in the field, both women are at the mill, but in their readiness. Those who are prepared are saved, the unprepared are lost. Now this is backed up by the parable of the thief in the night. A burglar does not advertise his time of coming. The only way to prevent him from stealing from you is to be ready at any time. And Jesus says that his coming, his second coming, is not revealed the time of that. Indeed, it'll come when we least expect it. And if we don't want to be caught unawares, then we need to be ready and waiting at all times. Those in the field and those at the mill were going about their routine, mundane tasks. Two were so caught up in the details of their everyday lives that they were not awake to what was happening. The other two were, and so they were ready and waiting. Now, our culture abhors waiting. Our credit cards take the waiting out of wanting, and Amazon guarantees next day delivery. Waiting on a platform for an uncertain train feels like a waste of time. If we're told that we must wait, we often feel diminished. It's only the poor that need to wait. I think we're losing any sense of the benefits of waiting. And if you think about it, we do wait for what is important to us. No one waits for a train for no reason. The waiting gives significance and value to what is being waited for. Think of an ornithologist who waits for a glimpse of a rare visitor to these shores. It's important to him, so he's prepared to sit on a cold salt marsh for hours and hours just to get a glimpse of this longed-for bird. Or a scientist waiting for the results of an experiment which will either support her theory or will squash it. It's important to her, so she waits. And yes, God waits for us too, because he loves us. You can buy jokey t-shirts today that say on the front of them, "Christ is coming, look busy." It's obviously a joke. But based on this reading alone, it's clearly inadequate. What they ought to read is, "Christ is coming, be ready." And the way to be ready is to nurture attentiveness to God through worship and prayer, through study and solitude, through service and sacrifice, and all the other ancient disciplines of the spiritual life. These are the road-tested ways of putting ourselves where God can transform us. If you were at the quiet day last week, you'll remember that David encouraged us to take one of the prayers that he offered and to pray it daily during Advent, and if possible, to pray it at the same time every day. Now, I think that that is an example of a simple spiritual discipline that can heighten our attentiveness to God and build the ties that bind us to him. I wonder if you're familiar with the book The Little Prince. It's a delightful story, and in it, the prince meets a little fox. "Come and play with me. I'm so unhappy," says the prince. "I can't play with you," replies the fox. "I'm not tamed." And a discussion ensues as to what it means to be tamed. "It's an act often neglected," says the fox. "It means to establish ties." "What must I do to tame you?" asks the little prince. "You must be very patient," replies the fox. "First, you will sit down at a little distance from me, like that, in the grass. I shall look at you out of the corner of my eye, and you will say nothing. Words are the source of misunderstandings. But you will sit a little closer to me every day." Well, the little prince comes back the next day, but he's gently ticked off for not coming at the same time as before. The fox explains that when he knows at what time the prince will be coming each day, in anticipation, he will feel happier and happier as the time approaches. "But if you come at just any time," he says, "I shall never know at what hour my heart is to be ready to greet you." I think that's a charming illustration of a disciplined prayer life that perhaps doesn't even involve words. It may seem a little paradoxical, but the value of regular times of worship and prayer, study, solitude, and so on, is that they help us to be more attentive, more ready at any time to notice God's presence with us. Jesus says, the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Therefore, you must be ready. We've been waiting 2,000 years for his return, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean that waiting is a waste of time or that it's in vain. Without waiting and watching, there is no wondering, no contemplation, no sense of the mystery of God, and no tangible expression of Christ's importance to us in our everyday lives. So, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And may this Advent be a blessed time for all of us. Amen.